This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
The Jaguars opened the Mike Mularkey era in the preseason with a 32-31 victory over the New York Giants. Some positive things to build on, some not-so-positive things to build from and learn from, but that's sort of the way the preseason goes with just about every team, particularly a team like the Jaguars, trying to start an ascension and to get better. And we'll talk about some of those things as we continue on in our coverage here on the our post-game coverage right here on the Winn-Dixie Post-Game Show. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working? The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, let's get you updated on scores from some of the other preseason games and some of the other action in Cincinnati. It was a very physical game early on, particularly if you were on the receiving end of the Jets, who knocked four different starters for the Bengals out of the ballgame with various levels of injuries. And Cincy, though, wound up winning 17-6. Tim Tebow came in relief of Mark Sanchez, had four carries for 34 yards as a runner, and four out of eight for 27 yards and an interception as a passer. So nothing to write home about for Tebow in that ball game. Also, Tampa Bay winning at Miami 20-7. The Dolphins, though, did see their rookie quarterback Ryan Tannehill throw a touchdown pass, part of a 9-play, 70-yard drive in the third quarter. And with David Garrard going on the shelf for a while with some knee surgery, it looks like Tannehill certainly is helping his cause as far as maybe being a starter at the outset of the season. Speaking of rookies starting the season at quarterback, Brandon Whedon is certainly going to be in that situation. It is not exactly a huge performance, though, from Whedon today. 3 of 9 for 62 yards and an interception. Quarterback rating of just 19 as Cleveland struggled early, but the Browns beat Detroit 19-17. All right, let's head back up to the booth and get more of our post-game coverage with Brian Sexton.
All right, Cole, much more to come with Cole and Marco. We are awaiting the first word with head coach Mike Mularkey and Jeff Loggeman. Jeff joins us now from the Jaguars locker room, and we'll go through some of the numbers here. Again, a Wells Fargo stats check. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. And Loggy, obviously we're going to talk about Blaine Gabbert and Rashad Jennings. So let's start with Gabbert. 5 of 10, 62 yards, the touchdown, the passer rating 102.9. You liked what, 85, 90% of his body of work tonight? Just a couple things that need to be improved?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the first drive was outstanding. You know, converting all those third downs, real steady in the pocket, real solid, let him right down the field. You know, the one play I didn't like, but you know what? That's one play out of, what, 10? You know, so a good start for them, a good start for the offense, and a good start for him, and having a physical front line, you know, as far as running the football, certainly helps.
Rashad Jennings finishes with 12 carries for 56 yards. It's a 4.7 per carry average, and ripped off a 17-yard run against a defense that was really good last year.
I mean, you're talking Justin Tuck, O.C. Umanura, Joseph, the defensive tackle, the big guy that they got, the 350-pound defensive tackle.
Oh, Sean Rogers.
Sean Rogers. I mean, you know, when you can run the ball against an accomplished defensive front like that and protect fairly good, that's an accomplishment. So, you know, and especially with an offensive line group that really hasn't worked much together. I mean, this group was basically put together this week.
Mike Thomas had a good showing, 4 catches for 80 yards.
But I'm happy for him because, you know, he's been dealing with some things, you know, and he said, hey, look, I got to get my head right. And to come out and have a strong showing in the first preseason game where a lot of people, you know, have been saying, you know, quietly, hey, Mike's not having a good camp, which he hasn't been having his best camp. To come out in the first game when it matters, you know, when the lights are bright, to have that kind of a showing, that's going to be big for him.
And Brian Rubisky, 7 for 72.
You know, solid night, big guy, you know, the biggest of all the wide receivers. And to me, the, you know, real solid night for him, but overall, no drops, you know. And what we've been seeing all camp, you know, them dropping the ball a little bit in practice, and Mike Mularkey harping on it and talking about it. You know, the laps started to get run this week, and first preseason game, you don't see any drops.
Defensive side of the ball, you know, missing a couple of key guys, Tyson Alualu, Daryl Smith not playing, Rasheed Mathis didn't go, Derek Cox left the ball game pretty early. What stood out to you from that side of the ball?
I think defensively, I like, first and foremost, the way they responded to the sudden change situations, the turnovers. You know, they basically held them to field goals. Obviously, we had a bad call on Aaron Ross against Eli Manning that ended up keeping that drive alive, and the Giants ended up scoring a touchdown. But I think in a real game with the correct officials out there, that would have been called correctly. But the way they responded in those situations, very strong. The one thing you want to see get better is that first group of defensive linemen be able to get a little bit more pressure than they did.
All right, it's a preseason game. People will forget the score in a week. But it has significance to a guy who's coming in here trying to turn things around in Mike Mularkey. What's his message to his team, would you suppose? And I know you're going to get a chance to ask him, but what would you be talking to your team about tonight?
Just, you know, stay the course, you know, and I think you don't get overly excited, and you certainly don't get underly excited. You know, this is the whole process, and, you know, you've got to use those kind of catchphrase terminology in the way you talk to a football team. You don't want them to get too high and think that, hey, we've arrived just because we won one preseason game. You know, it's back to work tomorrow. You know, a day off, and then you get back to work, and you keep working on your craft, and keep working to get better, because all the other 31 teams in the league are going to be doing just that.
Well, and this strikes me as a pretty level-headed team. I mean, we heard a lot of interviews from the sideline tonight. Terrence Knighton and Paul Posluszny and Mercedes Lewis. And just over and over and over when JP would ask them, hey, what did you think about this? They go, well, no, we did good. That's fine, but we know we can do better. That kind of approach just seems to carry through the entire roster.
Hold on, say, Brian. We're joined now by the game ball recipient, Head Coach Mike Mularkey. Congratulations. Who gave you the ball?
Well, Rasheen, but I think it was on behalf of the players. I've just felt that way. It was very heartfelt, very proud of these guys. Amazing. I know it's preseason, but things like that go a long way in the long run. You know, they believe in themselves. I'm really proud of them.
When you start something new, you know, people always say, hey, it's only preseason. But when you're trying to build something, winning matters, doesn't it?
Winning matters, and like I said to these guys this morning, you know, somebody asked me the question, do we want to win this game? And I thought it was probably the worst question anybody's ever asked me, and we were going for it from the beginning, and to be down and to just keep chipping away, credit to these guys in this game, especially some of the younger players stood out.
The thing that I think impressed me the most offensively, an offensive line that basically was put together this week, gave up a little pressure, but overall the way they were physical up front. Rashad Jennings averages nearly 5 yards a carry, and the way you're able to move the ball consistently down the field, especially on that first drive, had to impress you.
It was very, very impressive, especially against that defense, and to go 90 yards, new offense, basically a new offensive line put in there together. They were physical. That's what we asked them to be. Made some big third downs there, but to come into the game like that, especially the pressure on some of those guys that were in there, Blaine especially, and do what he did was very, very good to see, and we can build off it. Very good to see.
Defensively, I thought that the way that they responded to what sudden change situations, the turnovers, and yes, the one ended up being a touchdown, what appeared to be a bad call on Aaron Ross, but I thought that if that's not a penalty, you're holding a team to two field goals that had great field position, one on the turnover and the other one on the big kick return. I thought that was solid.
Well, I'll be honest, you know, those are the things we talked about. If those are the things we can avoid as a team, we'll be okay when we walk on the field on Sundays. But we cannot do what we did with the turnovers. It was evident the four turnovers that took place, four touchdowns were the results. And the penalties, you know, you can't have them in any game. We were off the field. We did our job. There's a lot of good things, but those are the things you talk about, like you're even asking me about. There's a lot of good things that happened that we can learn from.
At the end of that ball game, penalty against the Giants, tackled inbounds. Am I wrong that that should have been a 10-second runoff?
I'm pretty sure it should have been that. I know, I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to say for a fact, but I think it's also a loss of down. If it's one or the other at that point. Should not have had another shot.
The one thing that you've harped on, in particularly in the first couple weeks training camps, is drops. I didn't see one drop pass tonight.
There was a lot of plays made by those guys, especially on third down, a lot of big plays, and very proud of them. You know, that's something that can haunt you if you harp on it too much, you start thinking about it too much, and I was just proud of the way they responded, made the catches when they had to make them, big plays.
You always want to come out of the first preseason game fairly healthy. Dirk Cox left early, looked like a calf. John Estes looked like he had a knee.
Anything to report on the injury front?
I have not, other than just, you know, I know pretty much the same thing you know right now. Until I get a medical report, I don't know more than they couldn't finish the game.
All right, thank you, Mike. Congratulations.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, that's head coach Mike Mularkey, and he joins Jeff Loggeman first in our post-game locker room. And it's brought to you every week by our friends at Bubba Burgers. All right, much more to come. We will return after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, 32-31. The Jaguars beat the Giants in the end. Jeff Loggeman's in the locker room. And, Loggy, I mean, it's just a preseason game. But, hey, you've been working hard for a couple of weeks. You finally get the chance to hit someone wearing a different uniform. It's nice to hit them a couple more times than they hit you.
Well, absolutely. And here with running back Rashad Jennings. Rashad, it has to feel good to finally play against somebody else, as Brian just said, but then have success running the football as you guys did tonight.
Yeah, it does. It feels good to see everybody have on the same teal color and go out there and be able to smack some other guys around. And collectively as a team, we just got better today. And as an individual personally, it feels good to be off IR and go to battle with some of your friends. So it feels good. It's a good start. That's all it is. It's a start.
And it's got to feel good because the start includes a win with, you know, Mike Mularkey's taking over. And obviously there's been some garbage that was put out there this week that Mike has a disconnect with the team, which obviously is not true. But to get the win, Rasheen presents him with the game ball.
Exactly. We understand what's going on in the locker room, and our coach is our leader. And we're all in, and that's one of our logos of this year. So that stands true, and it's exciting. Exciting to get a victory, start things off the right way, and finishing it to the last zero on the clock, and that's how we're going to play ball this whole year.
Defending Super Bowl champions obviously out there across from the field from you guys, and things got a little chippy out there tonight.
That's how it's supposed to be. It's football. It's always going to get a little chippery, especially, you know, it's the first time that you know, both teams are being able to butt heads with somebody else. So, you know, you want to prove yourself every single time you're out on the field, prove yourself to your team, prove yourself as a resume, and continue to get better. And from here, you know, we celebrate, be happy, smiles on our face, walk out, and next time we walk back in the building, to the film room, to the weight room, and getting ready for the next opponent.
Back to work. Thank you, Rashad. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Rashad Jennings finished the night. 12 carries, 56 yards, 4.7 per carry average, and he had a 17-yard run. Hey, you can score a touchdown with GEICO in just 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO today for your free rate quote. We go to Jeff in the locker room again with quarterback Blaine Gabbert, 102.9 passer rating.
Well, Blaine's got to feel good. You know, the first real game, I guess you could say it's not a real game, but it's certainly better than going against your own guys out there on the practice field.
Yeah, it felt great. We had a great first drive, something that we can definitely build on. The biggest thing that we kind of focused on, we got to eliminate the turnovers from our number one offense. We had two pretty costly fumbles that led to points, but all in all, it's a great win.
And against the defending Super Bowl champions, no less. I mean, so hey, throughout the preseason, you guys got the Giants, you got the Saints, you go to Baltimore, and you got the Falcons. I mean, this preseason is going to give you guys a good flavor to get ready for the regular season because these are four quality opponents.
No question. They're four great teams, playoff teams, Super Bowl teams, year in and year out. So it's definitely going to give us a challenge, but we're up for it, and we're just looking forward to New Orleans next week.
How important was this just to get the win? You know, it's the first game action under Mike Mularkey. You know, a lot of people always say a preseason doesn't matter, but when you're starting out new with new coaching staff and a lot of new players, it is important, isn't it?
It is. The preseason does matter, especially with the new offense, a lot of new guys around this building. Definitely nice to get the first win for Coach Mularkey, and we got some good things going on within this organization right now, and we're happy about it.
All right, thank you, Blaine. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's quarterback Blaine Gabbert, who threw a touchdown pass on the opening drive to cap a 13-play, 89-yard drive. Gave the Jaguars a 7-0 lead, and, of course, they come back from behind to win it 32-31 when Matt Veldman catches a 2-point conversion from Jordan Palmer. You heard the head coach talking about injuries. We don't know anything about Derek Cox yet, only that he couldn't return. Don't know anything yet about backup center Jeff Estes, only that he could not come back onto the field and play. Those will be updated over the course of the week. That injury report brought to you by our friends at Brooks Rehabilitation, one of the guys who's been rehabilitating diligently on the practice field is Rasheen Mathis, and he joins Jeff now. Jeff.
Thank you, Brian. Rasheen, game ball goes to the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Talk about it.
He's a great man. He's just a great man. And what he's done in the short time that he's been here, gathering coaches and players and having us in one sound mind and one attitude and all striving for the same goal, it's a lot to be said about that. Teams don't normally buy in this early. I don't think that's normal. So kudos to him from presenting himself, like laying it all on the line and letting the guys know that he's a straight shooter and that he has our backs. And when you see a coach pouring his heart out to you, and when it's from the soul, you respect that. You respect that, and it's shown. You ask anybody on this team, and I think it'll come from the heart when they say that they would go all in for him, regardless of the situation.
You went through pregame warm-ups. You didn't play tonight. You got back into the street clothes, I guess you could say. How far are you removed from your reconstruction on the knee, and how does it feel? And have you guys laid out a schedule for when you'll be able to work yourself back in?
No, we haven't laid out a schedule, really. It's just more and more reps during practice, which I'm getting every day. I feel great. You know, the knee is feeling good. It's reacting good to everything. But the timeline hasn't been set. We just decided to not go tonight. It's a long ways before the regular season game. Kind of a long ways. It'll come sooner or later. But I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great. I expect to be going soon. So when that time is, I really don't know. But you know, it won't be a surprise if it's early.
Well, from my eyes, you look great. I mean, the knee looks like it's responding, and you know, you'll be ready when it tells you you're ready.
Exactly, and that's the main thing. The knee is responding. Everything I'm doing is responding, and that's the main thing. And like you said, you've been through it. So when it's ready, it'll let me know. It'll let me know. It's been ready from everything I've done so far. So just don't want to push the sled too much.
All right, thank you, Rasheen. Great job.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Rasheen Mathis. Jeff, thanks so much for your work from the locker room. Jaguars get off to a 1-0 start in this exhibition season with a 32-31 come-from-behind win over the New York Giants. And again, it means nothing in the standings, and few people will remember the score when the preseason ends. But for Mike Mularkey, it will always be memorable because it means he got things started off on the right foot. Time now for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light. It's a sure sign of a good time. Here we go. We go back to the opening drive. Blaine Gabbert started at his own 11. They faced third down four times on the drive. And on the fourth time, it was third and goal. And here's our Bud Play of the Game. Gabbert back to throw. Pumps, turns, and delivers a pass. And this one is caught. Cecil Short. Touchdown in the back corner of the end zone. Gave the Jaguars a 7-0 lead. The Giants would take advantage of some mistakes, build a 24-7 advantage. And then the Jaguars would come from behind. It ended when Keith Tostin ran into the end zone, and the two-point conversion from Jordan Palmer was caught by rookie free agent tight end Matt Beldman. 32-31, and a lot of people to thank for our broadcast. First of all, welcome to the show. J.P. Shadrick did an exceptional job on the sidelines with all of those interviews, and we certainly appreciate that. Kyle Larson joining me as my spotter this evening. University of Kansas finest. Appreciate you, Kyle, making the trip up from St. Augustine Beach for Joe Fortunato. Yeah, we just keep on coming. We like it down here. It's nice and warm. For Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, Scott Kushner, we're going to send it off to another very capable crew, led by a Jayhawk also, Mr. Culpepper, Mr. Marco Coleman. And we'll say goodnight. Final score, final time, 32-31. You're listening to the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Garinger.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Now from Jaguars Central, Culpepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars beat the Giants 32-31. Thank goodness for two-point conversions in the final 2 minutes of a preseason game. Jordan Palmer to Matt Veldman. Veldman. Who made the catch in the back of the end zone for the two-point try, and the Jaguars win at 32-31. All right, we'll get into some of the specifics in the big picture, but want to remind you that the Jaguars postgame is brought to you by the Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better. Marco, I have a fairly comprehensive list of guys who I would give a plus to tonight, and a short list of guys who aren't getting the plus. Let's talk about the pluses first, because I'm the optimistic Sonny type.
Keep it positive.
Yeah. First guy on my list, Mike Thomas.
Okay, that's definitely a good one.
For a guy who has, frankly, had some struggles in the preseason practices and in training camp and mini camps, he came out today and looked like a guy who wanted to prove something.
Exactly. I mean, and that's good to see that he came out recognizing his situation. You'd be going from being a starter last year, now you're third on the depth chart. Hey, I got to get my spot back. And he played like a man on a mission. That was really good to see his effort and the opportunities that were given to him also.
He was separating. He was getting open, something we did not see a lot of last year. Again, I think the coaching of Jerry Sullivan, the Jaguars' new wide receiver coach, I think is making an immediate difference. And I think you're seeing that immediate difference right out of the chute.
And also for the quarterback. You can see that he looks a lot more comfortable, knows where guys are, leading him, not putting the balls in bad places. Another good deal that's helping them out is the formations. They're coming out a lot of different personnel groupings, different formations, and that creates a lot of problems for a defense also when they have a lot of different looks and they're guessing. You know, that puts them even further behind when they have to figure things out, that's for sure.
Well, and then that's on the offensive side. On the defensive side, a guy who always quietly goes about his job and just gets it done. And this year, you know, the Jaguars bring in some guys at his position, seem to affect what's going on there. But, boy, Will Middleton just keeps making plays. He's just solid. You know he's very good on special teams, but whether it's in the nickel or the dime, whether it's lining up at corner, terrific job in pass coverage.
Very steady. It's somebody you can depend on. You know, you think about the defensive coordinator. Mel is a solid guy, and that's what he's looking for. You don't have to be the most outstanding player, but be solid, somebody that can be counted on each and every week. And Will Middleton is one of those guys. Not in special teams, he's going to contribute a lot there on the special teams also. That secondary in general is a great crop. I mean, they've done a really good job of assembling not only just that first team, but those that are also backing up.
All right. Rashad Jennings also didn't exceed expectations, met expectations for me. I just expect he's going to go out there and get the job done. I think this guy's this is a 1,000-yard rusher if he's a starting running back.
I really think he is. He's, especially if the passing game can continue to get better. You think about the passing game, Blackman wasn't even involved in it.
Yep.
So you figure the future is great with being able to pass the ball to set up the run now. I think that's going to be the thing that's going to really open up things for a player like Rush, like Jennings. Matter of fact, I don't think he even caught any balls. And we didn't see him open up to where he's
very
receiving
the ball.
Exactly. So the sky's the limit, definitely, for Jennings.
All right, a couple other guys who I want to give some props to. Brian Rabisky, another guy who, last year he was brought in midseason, fought some injuries. But I'm telling you, this wide receiving core could wind up being a very deep group if you got guys like Rabisky playing like he did tonight, 7 catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown.
I mean, it's coming to be a really good competitive battle. And that's the thing. Competition breeds excellence. You know, these guys know that it's another guy breathing right down my back that's fighting for a position here, and is just as good as I am. So each and every week, each and every day, you got to come out and perform. So with that, these guys are getting better, and you see it. I mean, it's a drastic change from what we saw last season.
All right, we'll take time out. Got a couple more guys I want to mention, particularly young guys on the defensive side of the ball really stood out to me, and we'll talk about them when we come back. Also give you an injury update as much as we can. And we'll talk about what happened in the locker room after the game and what that means, what it really tells you about where this Jaguars group is under Mike Mularkey. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate before your next game. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio. Visit Sonny's today and try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket for $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. Welcome back. Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars win at 32-31. Couple of young guys I want to mention who I thought really stood out today to me, Marco, on the defensive line. And this is an area that, with some injuries and some other things, didn't have the full complement today. Tyson Alualu didn't play. Pot Roast is still working his way back.
Definitely.
You didn't have Austin Lane. But I thought that Jarris Pendleton, the draft pick, and Aaron Morgan really did a nice job on that defensive line today.
And Irving, number 70. Corey Irving. I thought he was pretty active when he came in there also and being very disruptive. And that's the thing. You got a bunch of guys that's got some motors. I think Cullen is doing a really good job of keeping those guys to understand the intensity to be able to play with. And that's when things happen. I mean, a lot of times with as a defensive lineman, it's the effort that's going to allow you to be able to make a play, that second effort, And these guys have got that. You see it with these young guys.
All right, special teams. I want to talk about the good and the bad of special teams here. I don't want to steal your thunder for good, the bad, and the ugly a little bit later on. But on the good side, Jaguars rookie punter Brian Anger, a couple of those punts, I mean, he hits them so high, he's hitting them over the lights, and it was clear that they were having some trouble catching the ball.
He is as advertised. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing a great job. I mean, he single-handedly is going to be able to change games this season. You can see that with those opportunities that he had to punt the ball.
First one he had, he mishit it, and it was still a 41-yard punt with a hang time of 4.1. I mean, when that's your miss, you're in good – I mean, he's a – 50-yard, 5-second hang time kind of guy when he's hitting it square.
I think we can chalk that one up for the butterflies of being his first NFL appearance. So, we'll give him that one. But this guy, I think he's going to be a game changer.
And the other thing, and this will be a welcome relief to Jaguars fans after what everybody experienced last year, when he's kicking down inside the 10, he's very good at that Australian-style kick or the whatever you want to call it, with a tip down, and you kick it and get it to check up. He had a couple of those today where he got it, play. There's two things. One is getting lucky about the bounce. But the other thing is being able to place it in the right spot down there. Mm-hmm. And I think he had three kicks that were in the 10, inside the 10-yard line today.
And that's not being greedy. You figure you can have all these, a lot of different punters are, they all into having the distance, want to get those averages up. He's a team player. Need to get the team backed up. He's making the right kind of plays. I'm very excited about seeing him. That changes special teams, changes games, and he is a person that's going to be able to change the game.
Who was the biggest game changer as a punter you played with?
Reggie Roby.
Mm-hmm.
I think he completely he pushed people back.
The difference is I don't believe Anger is going to be punting with a gold watch on. What in the world was that with a Roby? I mean, he had a watch on.
He was in Miami, man. It's the lifestyle. That was back when you had, Tubbs and Crockett.
I guess so. Take off the socks, put on the,
Hey, man.
The Day-Glow
T-shirt. The life of a punter. He's a rookie right there. Let's give him some time.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. By the way, we heard some, comments. People call him Legatron. There's already a Legatron. Thomas Moore said it's late. It's a great nickname.
Yeah.
But Scobie says they call him Banger.
Okay,
like Banger. Banger. And, it makes it, here comes the Banger.
Yeah.
And he banged a few of them today. A guy who might feel like he got banged around a little bit today is Mike Brown. Had a lot of trouble, fielding kicks and punts today.
He's going to have a hard time sleeping tonight because, you think he's trying to make a team. Those type of mistakes are the ones that you can't make, especially when you're trying to make a team. And special teams, more than likely, is going to be his best opportunity when you look at the depth at the wide receiving core. He's going to have to really do a lot of things to get this behind him in practice and in these next preseason games.
Is this something that he can come back from? I mean, in other words, if he turns out there he's an undrafted rookie from Liberty, so he's got a ways to go, but he's going to have to. He's kind of on a zero tolerance situation now for any more issues with the fumbles.
Well, you figure Blackman when he's in now, so it's going to take some more reps away from some of those guys like himself that were getting more reps when Blackman wasn't around. So now it's going to be tough. It's going to be the special teams. He's going to have to do some special things now in practice and in these next preseason games to get these things behind him.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. We'll take time out. When we come back, I want to talk about Blaine Gabbert working behind sort of a patchwork offensive line to some extent, and how Gabbert did today. We'll talk with Marco Coleman and analyze the quarterback. More to come on the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' one-point preseason opening win over the world champion Giants. Back with more after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back. Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' 32-31 victory over the New York Giants. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. All right. We know that this preseason, the number one storyline is going to be the play of the quarterback. And we put the Maurice Jones-Drew stuff to the side for a moment. It is all going to be about what does Blaine Gabbert show you. So, what did Blaine Gabbert show you?
Well, he showed me that he's been working. He looks like a better quarterback. But the thing that I want to see him, he's got to get better at, is throwing in the face of pressure. I mean, this is a preseason game. The offensive line did a really good job of keeping guys away from him. But he had one play where he got a guy coming scot-free. He sees him coming, and he flinches, completely overthrows the guy. Those are plays that you're just going to have to grit your teeth and sometimes take one on the chin. And it doesn't seem like he's really ready to do that yet.
I said earlier this week, I think it was on Jaguars Reporters, and I've said it 100 times. As far as Blaine Gabbert is concerned, we're not going to get an absolute yes or an absolute no in this preseason. But you will get an idea of which direction it's tracking in. Mm-hmm. So, game one, is it tracking more to the yes or more to the no right now?
Oh, definitely to the yes. You know, you figure it's the first preseason game. I think he did a really good job with having a whole different offensive scheme,
yep,
handling the shifts, the motions, the different personnel groupings, being in command of the team. He did those things. But the thing that he's going to have to do, he's going to have to do it quickly, is understand that this is football. So you got a helmet, you got on shoulder pads, you know, might never really wear a mouthpiece as a quarterback. But you're going to have to be prepared to get hit. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't get that squared away, when teams know that, okay, all I got to do is get pressure on him, some hits, he's going to see a whole lot of blitzes.
I completely agree with you. Now, we talk about the offensive line he was playing behind. Evan Britton was playing left guard. You still had Meester, but he didn't stay long in there. Mm-hmm. John Estes came in at center. Uche was at right guard. That's your normal position. You had Cameron Bradfield at right tackle, and you had Eugene Monroe at left tackle. So basically mm-hmm. you had two guys where you expect them to be most of the year, which is Monroe at left guard, a left tackle, and Uche mm-hmm. at right guard. And the other three guys at some point in that first drive are guys who either you're not sure if they're going to be playing there, or you weren't projecting them to play there when camp started.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad job, when you consider all that with the way that offense marched down the field, 13 plays and 89 yards.
Look, the constant, Coach Andy Heck. I mean, Andy, I think, is doing an outstanding job of having each and every player to be able to step up, whether it be his own position or the next position, because that requires not only knowing the responsibilities of your own spot, but having an understanding of what you have to do at another position also.
I mean, are there two more different positions on the offensive line to play than right tackle and left guard?
You're just completely flip-flopping the whole deal.
You're flipping, you're going from outside to inside.
You step with a different foot, yeah, and a hand. I mean,
that's what they've asked Evan Britton to do.
And in coaching, I mean, really, you have to prepare for that. And I think Andy, understanding how things go, being a former offensive lineman, he's preparing each one of those guys to play any position on the offensive line. I have to give him a whole lot of credit.
All right, we'll see how it holds up next week. Not the same kind of challenge in terms of pass rush. The Giants, the best pass rushing team, particularly with the defensive line in football. But you've got the Saints next week, and maybe a little bit of a different challenge. We'll see who's in there for the Jaguars on the offensive line. We'll take time out when we come back. The Sexton Summary still to come. The coverage of the game, the protector of the game, and the season debut of the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all coming up on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after the Jaguars beat the Giants to open things up right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here at Jaguars Central. Jaguars beat the defending Super Bowl champion Giants 32-31. They beat the first coach in franchise history, Tom Coughlin. Yeah, it's a preseason game. Yeah, it's the first game with Mike Mularkey, but hey, you know what? A win's a win.
A win is a win.
And it feels better to start it this way than some other way. All right, time out for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. After the Jaguars forced a punt on the initial Giants possession, Jaguars took over at their own 11-yard line and would march downfield 13 plays, 89 yards. Blaine Gabbert, 4 of 7 on the drive, including the first score of the game.
Gabbert back to throw, pumps, turns, and delivers a pass, and this one is caught! Cecil Shorts, touchdown in the back corner of the end zone.
Shorts with a touchdown from 3 yards out. It was 7-0 Jaguars. 7-3 after a Lawrence Tynes field goal. Then the Jaguars had a hard time hanging on to the football. Cecil Shorts had the ball ripped out of his hands on a reverse. Giants would turn that into a touchdown. Then Gabbert was hit and fumbled. They would turn that into a touchdown. David Carr to Marcellus Bennett. And the Giants with a 17-7 lead at that point. It was 24-7 after David Carr hit Isaiah Standback on an acrobatic catch on the side of the end zone. 24-7 at that point. And with time winding down in the first half, the Jaguars would get back on the board with Chad Henne in at quarterback.
Bolin to Parmalee in the offset eye. Thomas in motion to the left side now. And he turns and throws to Brian Rubisky, who takes the ball away from the defensive back. That's a Jacksonville touchdown.
And the Jaguars trailed by 10 at that point. Then they would open up the second half with Jordan Palmer at quarterback. Another 13-play drive, this one covering 85 yards. It included a 35-yard hookup with Mike Thomas. And from the 7-yard line, the guy usually makes his mark on special teams, got it done on offense.
Here's Montel Owens, and he goes right, comes back left, and powers his way into the end zone for a Jacksonville touchdown.
Made it.
You've got to love Montel Owens. That guy gives you everything on every play.
He had the semi-truck rolling there, 24-21. Jaguars down by just three. Giants would punt in the fourth quarter, and a muff punt again by Mike Brown would lead to a Ryan Perilou to Reuben Randall touchdown. Giants would stretch the lead now to 9, 30-21. Then at the turnabout, same thing happened. Jaguars punting. It was fumbled. Jaguars recovered it. Antoine Blake involved. That led to a Josh Gobe field goal to make it 31-24. After the Jaguars defense held, forced a punt, Jaguars had it, and starting from their own 36-yard line, worked their way downfield inside the 10-yard line with 2 minutes to play.
Two tight ends are right. Now Cloherty goes in motion left. Hand off. Yeah, it is. And there goes Tostin into the end zone. Touchdown.
Nice strong run.
Keith Tostin with the 9-yard touchdown run. The Jaguars trailed by a point. It's the preseason. Do you go for two? Do you go for one? Well, of course you don't go for one and hope to tie it up. You go for the two-point play, and they did, and found Matt Veldman in the back of the end zone to give it a one-point Jaguars lead, 32-31. Crazy ending where the officials may or may not have known what the rules were at the end of things. But with one last play and three ticks on the clock, rather make it two ticks on the clock, the Jaguars defense would close out the victory.
Perilou is being chased by Ryan Davis, and the Jaguars sack him and end the game.
And the Jaguars with a victory 32-31 to improve to 1-0 on the preseason. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Back to talk about the game ball being awarded to the head coach, plus the protector of the game and the coverage of the game. It's all straight ahead on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, right here on Jaguars Radio. Back on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman after the Jaguars beat the Giants 32-31 to start the preseason. After the ball game, Rasheen Mathis, representing the team, the players, presented Mike Mularkey with the game ball. It doesn't happen all that often, particularly not in a game that's not a postseason game or a retirement game or a milestone game, something like that, that a team would present the game ball to the head coach. And I guess you could say there was some milestone to this, first preseason game with a new team and so forth, but I think what the presentation was more than that. It was two things. One, it was, I think, a genuine show of appreciation from the players to the head coach about the environment he's set and the kind of way that he's treated them. But also, I think, you know, even though players say, I don't listen to the talk radio, I don't read the papers, I don't read the internet, they know. I mean, they hear
these
things.
You can't help but to hear. Yeah, you got it.
And when Heath Evans made the ridiculous comments that he did earlier this week on NFL Network, I think some of the players thought, and they were asked about it, and of course they thought it was ridiculous. This is kind of putting an exclamation point on that, that not only are those comments ridiculous, but, you know, here's proof. And, you know, it's a silly thing to say that if you haven't been here, you don't understand what's going on here. But I will tell you this, in 19 years of covering the National Football League, I don't remember an environment like this around any team that I've covered.
Well, like I said earlier in the pregame show, it was the vibrance of the players. These guys actually, I see them walking in and then practicing. They're enjoying practice. How often have you seen guys actually be upbeat about actually going out and preparing?
Not just enjoying it. I mean, they're working hard at it.
They're
coming in worn out, but they're enjoying it because they know what they've been given.
And you know, Mel Tucker was already, they had a lot of respect for Mel. Mm-hmm. And I think now that type of respect and the way the coach respects the player, you know, showing it, you know, I'm a man just like you are, is spread now across the whole team now. That's even the assistant coaches that were brought in on the offense all have the same type of mind state as Mularkey. I mean, I know Sylvester Crooms, and I know him real well as a coach. And, I mean, he's the type of coach you love to play for. He's a man's coach, and you're going to play for a guy like that. And I think that's, like I said, that type of sentiment is spread across not just the defense, across the whole team right now. Like I said, that show of appreciation is great during the preseason, but they need to go ahead and get them a game ball with the first win come September too.
I know they'd love to hand them a game ball.
He's gonna get a new one. He's gonna get another one.
Maybe in solid silver and on a pedestal, maybe with Lombardi's name on it or something.
Up in Minnesota,
long way to go. All right, time now for the protector of the game, brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Protector of the game today, what do you have?
Hey, a familiar face. The gatekeeper is the new name for him.
The gatekeeper.
Greg Jones. I mean, this guy, man, I mean, just he picks fights with the biggest, toughest guys every week.
Yeah.
And he goes out, you know, tells
them. Usually they're picking fights with him. All he's doing is blocking them.
Hey, let me tell you, but this time I watched the whole deal.
Yeah.
You know, he came at OC.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little extra tick for tat there. But, I mean, this guy. He's not
going to back down. We know that.
That's for sure. I mean, him along with that offensive line. Jennings has come into the best situation, you know, and also Mercedes. These guys are great blockers, and Greg is leading the way. You put whoever you want behind him, and there's going to be some space to get yourself into that second level.
All right, time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, depend on us for life. What do you have for the coverage of the game?
Well, you know, I think that the strength of this team is the two safeties, DL and DL. DL squared, you know, that's what I think we're going to have to do. But a big play by Dwight Lowry, you know, stopping a big series on the pass breakup early in the game. I mean, those guys, I think the safety position is going to be major in stopping a lot of big plays and presenting some big hits. These dudes laid a hat also, you know, especially that guy from Georgia Tech. That's what we do.
You like the Georgia Tech guys, don't you? No doubt about it. All right, we'll take time out. Come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Following the Jaguars' preseason opening, 32-31 victory over the New York Giants, it is time now for Marco Coleman to unfurl the first installment of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Good, I'm going to have to go with that wide receiver core. When Blackman gets back, it's going to be deadly, I think, you know, in my personal opinion. You're going to put these guys out in that four wide receiver set. And you got Blackman, you got Robinson, you got Thomas, Schwartz. I mean, it can get real ugly for teams. You don't have these guys can win one-on-one matchups. So I think the wide receiving core is going definitely in the right direction. Really, a really good thing that's happening. Bad, the turnovers. And specifically my man Mike Brown, you know, two muff punts. You know, he's trying to make a team. Big man, you got to get that together, baby. Time is of the essence, that's for sure. And ugly, the darn referees, these scab referees they brought in. These guys, I don't think they know what they're doing. I really don't. They need to check the rule book or go back to high school or wherever they came from. I need to send them back.
Now, that is a thankless job, by the way.
Oh, man.
I almost don't blame those referees because how can you learn the NFL game
without
and be used to the speed of it without being in it? And these guys who are doing junior college or, you know, NAIA games or whatever, these are not even the top guys who aren't around, who aren't in the NFL yet. So,
well, are they getting paid the same type of money? I mean, that's, you know, if you are, then you need to, hey. Yeah, I know you got some reserves, some young guys that are ready to come out. You bring in some old scab referees. They ain't even young, fresh guys trying to get in the league.
Young guys don't want to cross the picket line, I don't think.
Hey, man, shoot. Some young, hungry guys in college, I'm sure. Hey, give me the opportunity, baby.
There you go. Roger Goodell, Please give Marco Cole.
Oh, no, not
call.
Me. I'm talking.
Oh,
I jumped into the personality of a young referee.
Banaszak might volunteer go out there.
Hey, man, it wouldn't be too many flags thrown when the quarterback got hit. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Or the kicker. Not a whole lot. All right, that'll do it for the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Next week, Jaguars take on the New Orleans Saints. Another Friday game, 8 o'clock for kickoff from the Big Easy. And we'll take air on the network at 7 o'clock. More to come in Jacksonville. If you're local, stick around. We'll take your calls and tweets and comments and questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is straight ahead. Jaguars open the preseason with a 32-31 victory over the team that hoisted the Lombardi Trophy last year. We'll see where it goes from here, but it certainly is a good start to the Mike Mularkey era. And you can just see the respect and admiration that the Jaguars players have for Mularkey. Things are off to a good start in the new era in the rebirth of the Jaguars. 32-31, Jaguars beat the Giants. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is next.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
And we welcome you in here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. If you want to join the conversation, your thoughts. And I'd love to hear from fans who are here at Everbank Field today about the new fan enhancements, the speaker system. Did you like the Jaguars prowl with the team kind of walking through the fans to come into the stadium? Some of your thoughts on some of the new things you saw, whether it's new players, new coach, new speaker system, what have you. I want to get your thoughts on the new that you experienced today here in the preseason. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Iselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. And let's start it off, as we like to, Marco. Marco's money player. Who was the money player today for you, Marco, in first preseason game?
I'm going with Rashad Jennings, man. You know, you figure this guy is out there, no MJD. Great opportunity for him. He'll be a free agent next year to let him know, hey, you don't have to pay MJD. You can pay me.
He'll take that.
I'll take it, baby. I think he did a great job. You know, again, I can't say enough about that offensive line, tight end, and Greg Jennings. Greg Jones. You know, Jennings did an outstanding job taking advantage of some really big holes. Those guys did a great job for him. Good job there, Rashad.
All right, if you want to join us via the Twitterverse, you can tweet to me at Culpepper, Culpepper, or you can join the conversation at 800-355-3255. NFL1, and we will get some calls here in just a moment. The Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. 800-355-NFL1. We say we just jump right in and take some calls here, Marco.
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with Bobby in Mandarin, who will lead us off today early this morning, all of a sudden. Hey, It's Saturday. Happy Saturday to you, Bobby.
Yeah, no kidding. It went by quick, didn't it?
It did.
Indeed.
Well, Marco, Cole, I just want to say, you know, it was really nice to see the first-string offense just move down the field the way they did. You know, after coming off a mediocre season, even though Blaine Gabbert was a rookie, it was very nice to see that first drive go the way that it did. I mean, even without Maurice, we filled all the holes we needed to fill, and that was just very, very, very good to see that they just moved it right down the field.
And not just without Maurice, but, you know,
missing offensive line.
The offensive line was kind of a little bit of a mess in terms of who was, you know, say a mess, not who they expect to have out there. Mm-hmm. And you don't have a guy who you expect to be the number one wide receiver in Blackman. Yeah. So
you're right. It wasn't just like that. I mean, the coaches, everything just kind of glued on that first drive. And, you know, I'm glad to see Mularkey in there, and I just think this is going to be a positive thing as long as we can just, like Marco said, the good, bad, and the ugly. First of all, we need to get rid of the refs for sure. That's got to fix itself. But just the simple fact of filling the little holes we need to fill and ball security. That's going to be a big key this year.
There's no doubt about it. Ball security, I'm certain, is going to be harped on by the coaching staff very soon. One thing I would mention on that, you've got a lot of guys playing in their first preseason game. We're having a hard time holding on to it. You also have some guys who, frankly, haven't been hit. You know, you've had a little bit of thud contact in practice, but like for instance, Cecil Shorts on the reverse, you know, he's got to do a better job of securing the ball. But again, that's what the preseason's for, to get you in the habit of doing that. So,
just send Marco into the locker room one time.
All right, go ahead,
guys. I appreciate the time, but like I said, I think I see a lot of good stuff and. Hopefully we can carry that momentum into New Orleans next week.
All right, Bobby, thanks for the
call. Have a good morning, Bobby.
800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Greg on the west side, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Greg, how you doing?
Hey, what up, guys? How y'all doing tonight?
Good, Greg.
Hey, man, I'm Marco. I saw you guys up there at the booth walking in, trying to wave to you guys. I got to tell you, I was very impressed with seeing how Blaine performed tonight. It was definitely, I think, going a long way to quieting some of those naysayers. And I think if you can keep that sort of poise and that sort of performance during the regular season, and he can maintain that on some level, I think he's going to go a long way to silencing his critics, and he's going to be a very valuable asset to the team. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what anybody says, anger tonight, he showed why he was worth a third-round pick. That boy is going to be a weapon in our special teams for many years to come.
And I
just hope they're smart enough to keep him.
I have to be honest. I have to be honest with you. I was one of those who raised an eyebrow when they drafted a punter. But I'll tell you what, everything I've seen out of him, I mean, he can make a significant difference in ball games.
Special teams changes games.
He can definitely flip the field. And yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Yeah, special teams.
You guys, by the way, I'm going to let you know that this is the only game I'm going to get to see with my daughter this year. She came down for a vacation. And it was pretty cool, and I want to give a shout-out to my daughter, Chelsea. So it was a great seeing the game with her.
All right, definitely. Sounds good. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it. Thanks for the call. There were a lot of jokes made, you know, about a team drafting a punter in the third round. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see. Now, these expectations pale in comparison to Olympic expectations. And how great was it to see Sonya Richards-Ross up on the scoreboard saying, you know, giving the shout-out to the Jaguars. And then, as I mentioned in the broadcast, just after the Jaguars scored that first touchdown, she tweeted, I'm following her on Twitter, she tweeted, touchdown Jags. And then the next tweet was, I got to go to sleep. I got to run the 4x400 tomorrow. And now the story comes in that there's going to be a reality show following Sonya Richards-Ross's run up to London, you know, her preparations and so forth, and Aaron Ross may get a little bit of a little cameo action there. So, you know, listen, I will say this, and again, we'll get back to talking about the game a bit, but I may have mentioned it on Tuesday night. My favorite Olympic memory of all time is the Miracle on Ice, 1980, right?
Okay.
By far. But my second favorite is now being on the field, as a bunch of Jaguars fans were, and a number of, and the, you know, the team and so forth, being on that field and watching the Jaguars watch the race.
Yeah, I wasn't here, but it seemed like that would have been exciting.
I'll show you a video when we get to the break. I got it right here on my phone. It's one of those little things that if Mike Mularkey had not done, nobody would have said, oh, you should have done this. But the fact that he did it just shows that he's the type, when you talk about what
happened after the game with getting the game ball. Yep. What he allowed, you know, it's very few coaches that would allow Ross to actually go. This is the middle of training camp, a series, you know, you're only going to be there for a little. I mean, for him to allow that and then also get the whole team also to embrace an exciting moment for one of their teammates, he's built, as tough as it is in professional sports, he's been trying to build a family,
yep.
You know, and that is major. That's how you win. You don't have to have the most talented team. You have to have the team that's most together. You got to have some talent, you know, of course some, but then the team that's together, they overcome a lot of different things, you know. And so I hats off to Mularkey and the things that he's done so far with the team and getting the team to be together.
And I'm reading the tweet from Vito Stellino, the Times Union here, mm-hmm. on this subject, talking to Jordan Palmer. And let me just read you the quote. I'll tell you what, I've been with a couple of different teams and been around the league for a long time. I haven't seen anybody like Mularkey. Does everything the right way, a player's coach, and yet he asks a lot of us. And that's a tough balance because you talk about somebody who is a player's coach and the thought is, well, he's kind of allows, you know, he just he'll let you get away with a little bit. He won't be as tough on you. And you talk about a disciplinarian, and that's, you know, Coughlin comes right to mind. Somebody who really asks a lot of you, is demanding. You played for both types.
Right.
You know, and it's rare to find somebody who can balance those two things. I think Jeff Fisher was always good at balancing those two things. Bill Cowher was good at balancing those two things. The early reviews are that Mike Mularkey is, has found a great balance of that.
I think the biggest thing is his experience. You know, you figure this isn't a guy that just got a just happened to be a coach. He's been in the league for quite a while. You know, he played for a player as a player for 9 years. Matter of fact, he played at a time it was old school.
Yep.
You know what I mean? What's going on now was nothing like what it was when he first came into the league. And then to see the maturation of the league, actually, is what he's been involved with. So many years, so many different teams, involved with a lot of different situations. This guy has probably – he's seen the highs and the lows. Been a head coach, then been all, brought all the way back down to being just a position coach as a tight end. So I think he's a humble guy, you know, ultimately. And with that, his work ethic and the things he's been through, his experience, it shows in the actions in which he takes in preparing a team. Like I said, ultimately, a team that's together is a team that will have some success, and he knows that.
All right, we'll take time out. More calls when we come back, 800-355-NFL1. Visit Sonny's today and try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket for $7.99. Or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We'll take your calls at 800-355-NFL1. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you're in the Twitterverse right now. We'll have the carry of the day and an injury update, plus your calls when we come back to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio.
Never look better, and you'll always pay less. Find the store nearest you at steinmart.com. You're gonna save a lot.
Special plays give football teams a winning edge. At EverBank, it's the special features in their high-yield checking and money market accounts that give Jaguars fans a winning edge. Features like EverBank's Yield Pledge Promise, which guarantees a top 5% yield nationwide as measured in Bank Rate Monitor. Their mobile banking app that lets you deposit checks anytime, and you'll get unlimited U.S. ATM reimbursements with a minimum average daily balance of $5,000 in your account. So make your special play today with EverBank by visiting your local financial center, calling 623-EVER or at everbank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Hi, it's Brian Sexton for the business experts at Copyfax. It's likely you have rooms of documents in your offices taking up space, and they're difficult to get at when you really need them. Copyfax is a document imaging solution for your business. Their electronic storage solutions can handle every document you already have, those you've yet to create. CopyFax can integrate their entire line of Ricoh Office products into your existing network, allowing your team to copy, fax, print, and scan. Call CopyFax or visit them at CopyFax.com. CopyFax is the official provider of copiers, laser printers, and fax machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We all have a path in life. For some, that path runs along 5 miles of sandy shoreline, or through 1,600 meters of water, or a wall of tacklers at Everbank Field. Wherever your path takes you, we'll keep you on it. We're Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, exclusive sports medicine provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Our top-ranked physicians and rehab professionals are the team behind the team. Find out more at joionline.net, affiliated with Baptist Health.
Jacksonville's most accurate and dependable forecast. News Talk WOKV. Depend on it.
The WOKV weather meter is at 6. Patchy clouds through the overnight hours. Lows will be 70 inland to 76 in the coast. Partly sunny during the day Saturday. In a few spots, we'll see an afternoon thunderstorm on 88 coast to 94 inland. For Saturday night, mostly cloudy. A shower and thunderstorm will be around again. Low 70 to 74. Sunday through Tuesday, clouds will limit sunshine each day with a shower and thunderstorm in spots, mainly during the afternoon hours each day. High each day, 90 to 94. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Frank Strength. News Talk WOKV.
We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Let's hit the carry of the day, brought to you by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Who had the carry of the day today? I think I have a pretty good guess.
Twofold, the batting ram. That's what I'm saying. This guy, man, I've been watching Montel all camp. I mean, he's been doing outstanding. I thought he was going to get more of an opportunity to run the ball the way he's been going in training camp. I mean, he's you know, especially with that run, he's shown he's definitely capable. I mean, he brings a different element than what Rashard brings, because yep. I don't think they have another runner that can get the tough yards. Rashard is going to be a good runner, but I think even for him, if I have a knock on him, it's his yards after being hit. I think when you hit him, he pretty much stops right there, where Mr. Owens, he's bringing it to you.
Yeah, and I will say that Bob Gradkowski told us earlier in the week that he was surprised how physically Jennings runs. He was not asking about
how Owens runs.
Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Derek Cox and John Estes, the two injuries that we'll be keeping a close eye on. Cox left the game with a sprained calf, Estes with a sprained knee. No reports yet on how things are going to go, but we expect to get an update fairly soon throughout this week. My hope would be that you would know pretty soon on Cox. A strained calf is usually one of those things that, you know, I would think, unless it's more serious than that, if it's a regular season game, he would play next week. If it's a preseason game, which it is, maybe you hold him out just as a precautionary measure. Estes kind of worries me. Anytime you start talking about a knee, you start worrying about which CL it is, ACL, PCL.
But for Cox, you know, that calf is pretty important, you know, when you're talking about doing a lot of running.
But that's not one of those injuries that's going to put you out for the year.
But it can be lingering, you know. And for him, you know, this is what almost every year he's had some kind of injury bug that's plagued him, where he's not been able to play all 16 games. His durability is now going to begin to come into question if you can't get that together.
All right, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today. Proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, back to some calls. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Edna in Mandarin, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Edna, how you doing?
Hey, Edna.
Just fine, thank you. How are you?
Good.
My husband wanted me to call and ask you, is there any way they could turn down the sound system? It was loud.
Edna, for the last, I'd say, about 18 years, people around the stadium have been asking the Jaguars, can you improve that? Can you turn it up? Now you wanted to turn it back down, huh?
Well, it's a new system, isn't it? And they've moved the speakers.
They've added a bunch of speakers. There may be some balance issues. You know, they'll be refining that. I would be surprised if they will be turning it down, but they may be getting it more in balance. That may be
one of the things
that they do.
I wear a hearing aid in both ears, and I had to take the hearing aids out because they put speakers right above us.
Yeah.
They might start piping in some crowd noise sometime. What was that? Yeah. Somebody did that.
Colts.
The
Colts. That was old rumor.
The play-by-play wasn't too bad, but the commercials and the music and the D-line were awful.
All right, well, I will pass that on to the folks in charge of that and let them know that – and you're in the upper deck, I guess?
Section 432, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll let them know that it was loud up there. So, it's preseason for the new speakers, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, it was a good game, and we enjoy your show.
Thank you, Edna. We appreciate the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Mike on the north side. You're up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Mike, how you doing?
Good morning, Cole. Good morning, Marco.
Hey there. Good morning.
Hey, listen, I'd just like to go ahead and echo Edna's comment about the speaker system. I sit in section 410, and I'll tell you, it was absolutely terrible. It was muffled. It was loud.
It was muffled.
About halfway up, muffled. You couldn't make out, you know, what was being said most of the time.
Okay.
Because you had a guess. It was like sign language on the field. We're looking for the refs, you know, trying to figure out what was going on.
Well, in defense of the speakers, we weren't sure what the refs were talking about half the time either. So,
I don't know what assisted living facility they got them, but they ought to go back and get some Pop Warner.
They could have got some young guys to come and stand in. There's some young guys that's hungry. That
call central casting. Is that what you're asking?
Really?
For?
I mean, auditions for some of these young college coaches. You know, come on, man.
Bring me some old scabs.
I'll close my comments with this. For a preseason game, it was very entertaining. Game planning, I'm kind of excited to see what Gretkowski comes up with for the regular season.
Yeah, so, didn't that offense look completely different than what you expected to see in the preseason last year?
I wasn't asleep by the third quarter. It was good to see. Good to see some change.
Yep. All right,
thanks,
Mike,
guys.
Appreciate the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go out to Fernandina Beach. Gary is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Gary, how you doing?
Great, Marco, Cole. How about you guys?
Doing good, Gary.
Hey, who were those guys out there tonight?
Who were those masked men?
I don't want to shock anybody, but I'm fairly certain those were the Jaguars.
They were the Jaguars that we've been looking for. And, you know, the first drive starting with that, and I think the coach interview, I don't know if I saw it on TV or the radio, but his statement that we have something to build on now, I think that really rings true. But what a great overall performance. And then for the guys to give the coach a team ball, I mean, that, you know, Marco, you've been in the locker room. That means a lot. That is a huge statement. You guys talked about it earlier. A couple of kudos to Blaine. You know, except for, like you said, the drop ball, the one time he fumbled, I think he, if anything, maybe he wasn't checking off on the second or third reads quite quick enough, but it's first game. I think huge improvement. And this kid, Jordan
Palmer.
Jordan Palmer. I think the fellow from Miami may be looking over his shoulder a little bit there. He showed a lot of promise, though it was against, you know, twos and threes. I get that. But he connected against what another thing I noticed is what you guys mentioned earlier is the depth that we seem to be developing at wide receiver. You know, this is clearly Gene Smith deserves a lot of credit, as does Coach. They've been really, really building. I was unaware of a lot of the new rules put into the new contract about mm-hmm. you're really limited on the two-a-days. And
yep.
I learned a lot about that kind of stuff tonight that I was unaware of. And I know Freddie was in the house tonight. And I hope he just calls up MJ and says, you know, MJ, stop listening to your agent because everybody's expendable.
Well, you know, nobody wants to get rid of Maurice Jones-Drew.
No,
but it
no.
I think here the point is this: this is all up to Maurice at this point, because I just don't see the Jaguars suddenly saying, "All right, we'll throw you some money."
We gave him a front load. We gave him a front load, and he was the second highest player at that point in time, yep. if the research is accurate.
And not only that, but when you see, Rashad Jennings run like he did today. Suddenly, if you were wavering at all, you kind of go, all right, well, stick to our guns.
Indeed. So, Fred Taylor, I hope you're listening. Love you, brother. Miss you. Want to see your name up there on that stadium wall one day.
That's coming.
Very soon.
Indeed. But I'm really, really, really happy and impressed. Been there since season ticket holder since the first year. So we're really, really excited. Didn't make the game tonight, but that's, you know, other personal issues. But what I saw tonight on TV was something that I was jumping up and down for a preseason game. You know,
it was exciting.
There's something that's happening here.
Indeed.
What it is ain't exactly clear.
But you know, but at the same time, you got to still. It was the first preseason game, and it is a lot of positives to take out of it. But it's a long way to go between now and come September and that first game that really matters. So, I mean, you know, it's definitely a lot of positives, but I don't think there's no need to start doing
You don't
the
need to
backwards.
Print your Super Bowl tickets yet, but I'm
not,
just telling
not
you.
Not quite yet.
But it's not just what happened on the field today. That's part of it. But
it's a great atmosphere.
Again, I'm here in the building every day. I'm out on the practice field.
I agree.
Things are just
But it's got to all be put into perspective, and I'm pretty sure that Coach Mularkey will do the same with the team and say, hey, this was a practice game. You had a great practice tonight.
Yep.
Let's go back to work. And the mission is not to be a great preseason team. It's to be a great
regular season team.
No doubt.
You know, so, you know, I mean, like I said, it was great. And I agree completely with what's going on. But, and I don't want myself, you know, and everyone to get too excited, because I guess when you, from where we came into where we are, it's like night and day. But, you know, keeping it all in perspective.
At the end of minicamp, the end of OTAs, Mularkey told the players, there's no reason to go out and tell everybody what's going on here, because we got something special, and if they won't believe it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, he believes that. The players are believing that. This was, again, not – if the Jaguars had not scored that two-point conversion and lost 31-30, some people would have felt differently about it, just because we're so conditioned to wins or losses. But when you look at what happened when the starters were in the ball game, you're basically talking about one bad call by a replacement ref that that didn't help things. But basically, you're basically talking about a Jaguars team that played essentially even with the world champs.
Yeah, but again, as a former player, you know, first preseason games, I can, you know, just to kind of, you know, a little bit of the devil's advocate, you got some guys that played in the Super Bowl, so their attitude coming to the preseason game was, I'm looking at the clock. I can't wait till this game is over.
You played for Tom Coughlin.
Yeah,
you know what it's like.
Hey, but the same thing. These guys, their thoughts are about December, January, you know, and not right now.
I understand. Hey, listen, it's one. Like I said, it doesn't give you an emphatic yes, but there wasn't a lot here to
great
tell
start.
You no.
It's a great. I'm not arguing. It's definitely a great start. But let's keep it all in perspective.
Let's take it downtown. Let's take a break. So hang on there, James. I'm going to put you back on hold. Hang on there. Because Linda Fortunato has reminded me that I need to take a break. Well done, Linda. Thank you. She's bossy. 800-355-NFL1. 355-6351. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll take time out because Linda says so. And we'll come back and take your calls if Linda lets me. Right after this timeout here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
agree more. That's why we're offering two delicious Criss Sandwich sandwiches for just $3. That's two Criss Sandwich sandwiches with fluffy eggs freshly prepared every morning, melted cheese, and your choice of sizzling sausage, hardwood smoked bacon, or smoky sweet ham for just $3. Now mornings are twice as good and twice as delicious, only at Burger King. Limited time offer, single item at regular price, not valid on the double Criss Sandwich. Price and participation vary.
Top local news from Jacksonville's largest, most experienced news team.
One of the statements thrown out included a confession to the sexual battery charge.
News Talk WOKV. Depend on it.
Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman. When you're looking for a department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, six Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. 800-355-NFL1. As promised, James, you are downtown and you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to ask a question about two players. One on defense, Julian Stanford started the scrimmage, but he didn't play. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that. And then also on offense, I want to know what y'all think the chances are Matt Velleman taking Zach Potter's spot. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay, thanks very much. Yeah, Stanford played very well. And, in fact, Gene Smith called him the unsung player from the scrimmage. I'm not sure why he wasn't out there today and if he – I'm not sure if he didn't. I'll have to check and see if he got any plays at all. I didn't notice him, though, for sure. I think that he's, you know, if healthy, I think he's got a great opportunity to play quite a bit. They really like his, you know, his physical tools and a guy who, you know, with the injury to Clint Session, obviously they've got, you know, some need for that backup linebacker behind Russell Allen, with Russell Allen moving up now. So, let me dig into that. Let me see if I can find the participation chart here in the meantime. The other one you're talking about was Veldman. It's too early to say whether he could take Zach Potter's place, but, you know, he made a couple of good catches in the end zone in the scrimmage. He made a catch in the end zone for a two-point try today. So, you know, who knows? He's going to have to be able to block. It's not just about catching the football. But it may not be even about taking a roster spot from Zach Potter, because Zach Miller is having health issues again. And if Miller is not all the way healthy when the season starts, you may see him carry another tight end. So I think both those guys, I think you've identified two guys who have a good chance to find their way out there and make a difference and make the squad. And looking at the roster. On the participation, he is listed as having participated in the game. I don't know whether it was on special teams or whether it was at linebacker. I'm with you. I didn't notice it, but I'm not looking for every single player on every single play.
I think that'll be the key for both of them is the special teams play. You know, guys like that, you know, their contribution more than anything. If you can contribute on special teams, it'll go a long way for you on the other side of the ball.
No doubt about it. James, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Patrick up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What did you think of the refs? I thought they were terrible tonight.
Yeah, not spectacular. And they were not as bad as they seemed to be, but so many times they just had this look like, oh, did I leave my flag over there? And, oh, where do I go for the replay? I can't fully blame them, because you know these are guys in their first NFL experience. You know, most of these guys, and yes, it's them, but it's kind of what's expected out of somebody like that. They just did not engender a lot of I think a lot of confidence in the way that they conducted things, particularly we left the flag over there. That's and by the way. Let me just point that, you know, I don't want to pick on him, because I know being an official is not an easy job, and especially in the situation that he's thrown into. But Jerry Hughes, who was the referee, he says, "We left the flag over." Jerry, you left the flag over there. So don't try the wee stuff. I've tried that with my wife. Yeah, we just didn't get do the right thing there, honey. No, you didn't do the right thing, Cole. That's the problem. All right, so Jerry, If you're a married man, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, shouldn't they have ended the game on the illegal forward pass? Isn't that a 10-second runoff?
I believe it should have been a 10-second runoff. And I don't know, you know, again, two things. Number one, it's a preseason game, so you know, it's not like the outcome is going to make or break a season. Number two, the fact that the Jaguars made a play at the end. I was actually kind of rather see the Jaguars rather make a play to end the game rather than end on a penalty. But, yeah, I think they messed that up. They totally blew the two things in early on when they called the face mask call. Number one, they said the face mask in the back of the head. Breaking news. The face mask is not located in the front, in the back of the helmet. It's located in the front. Secondly, there wasn't any contact like that. I mean, it wasn't there. So, yeah, it's bad officiating and maybe overwhelmed, and maybe it's, you know, game's moving too quick for him, what have you, but not so good.
All right, well, I'll take this off the air. How soon do you think this will be fixed?
No clue. Absolutely no clue. I mean...
They got to do something before the season starts.
You would think, but yeah, and this is what the this is what the officials are counting on. The officials union is counting on, and I haven't looked into exactly all the details of exactly what they're asking for. My guess is that the league can probably afford it. The question is whether it makes sense to, you know, to bargain this way. But this is exactly what the officials are banking on, is for the replacement officials who are not, you know, who are the third and fourth tier guys, not the first and second tier guys. To be awful, and for the fans to be outraged, for the players to be outraged, and then they'll have more, you know, more leverage in their negotiations. All right. Well, hey, thanks for the call. Banaszak would say they're all terrible anyway, so what does it matter?
I think you just go get some younger guys that just that are aspiring, that aren't, haven't just been sitting on the couch. One of these guys might have been refereeing someplace, but I mean, come on, you just go get anybody.
They would have scored a...
Just get it together before the darn regular season
starts. A 92,
starts.
But those 8% really stood out, right?
Yeah, I mean, but those make a difference in the game. When you figure, when you're talking about a real game, ooh, it hurt them. It hurt you.
Linda's hot, so we have to take another break. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Steve, David, I'm sorry. Linda's warm, so we have to take time out, but I promise I'll get to you if you hang on through the break. Back after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. It is a bit muggy in here. Right here on Jaguars Radio. With the whistling accompaniment of Marco Coleman, Cole Pepper here. Southern Four Dealers scoreboard show continues. Linda stepped out halfway into the hallway to try to cool down.
I think maybe
using those speakers may have blown the AC in here. I don't know. It's a lot of power. All right, 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Steve on the left coast, who is up next on the Southern Four Dealers scoreboard show. Steve, how you doing? Thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And I listen to you online because I'm on the left coast.
Yep.
But I just wanted to kind of share a soft story. My uncle sent me a T-shirt the day after the Jacksonville Jaguars were awarded to Jacksonville.
Okay.
And it was kind of cool because I opened the box.
Your uncle lives here? Or?
He did.
Yeah.
He has since passed away.
Okay.
But anyway, I opened the box, and there was the first T-shirt ever on the left coast.
Wow, how about that?
Well, right. I still have it. It's kind of ratty right now, but that's okay. But so, anyway, I listened to the game tonight, enjoyed it. And like I say, I enjoy your guys' commentary, and hope you guys continue on.
Thank you, Steve. Well, I appreciate it. That's a great connection to your uncle and to the franchise, and hopefully you'll be able to get caught up in some of the excitement of what's happening here and some of the optimism that's really building around the building and around the team. Even though you're several thousand miles away, hopefully you can kind of feed off some of that via the radio broadcast.
And absolutely, I don't want them back in I don't want them in L.A.
I'm with you.
I'll put that on the top.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening out on the West Coast. 800-355-NFL1. David on the South Side. You're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, didn't you guys used to have a segment called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. You missed it?
Well, I'm going to give you my good, bad, and the ugly.
All right.
The good was was obviously the first drive for the Jaguars.
Yep.
Nice drive. The bad was the two things I looked for the Jaguars to improve was Gabbert. The play where he just bailed out was awful. I mean, that was a big knock on him. That's the difference between being an NFL quarterback and being a sub-NFL quarterback. He's got to stand up in the pocket and make that pass. That's a 40-yard completion if he stands in the pocket and completes it.
Yep.
Instead, he bails out and overthrows the guy. And no pass rush from the first team. Ones against ones, no pass rush again. They're gonna have to develop a pass rush. And, of course, the ugly was the officiating. That was really, really rough. But, again, there was some positives. But the two things, like I said, I really wanted to come see was Gabbert stand in the pocket and complete passes, which he did. But when the pressure was on, he bailed out, which really, really I didn't like it. And I can't remember them ever pressuring Manning, but maybe one time with the one-to-one. They didn't get any sacks, did they? Or any knockdowns against Manning, did they?
Not the ones. But, again, also remember, without – Tyson and without Austin Lane, they didn't have the full and Pot Roast came in a little bit later, so not really the full complement. It's absolutely, though, something they need to do a better job of, pressuring the quarterback,
the
downfield.
Yeah, the interior. I think the guys were coming on the edge, but the quarterback was able to step up. It was that interior presence, like you said. Tyson, I think, was missed more than anybody because he didn't have any kind of pressure up the middle.
The guy late, I'm bad with names, but there was I've heard his name several times. The defensive tackle, he played great late. I think he's an up-and-comer. I wish I could remember his name. He played well in the second half.
Jarris Pendleton or Corey Irvin or
He played well. I mean, I've heard his name several times, mm-hmm. but that was encouraging. Like I said, the refreshing was horrible. The one pass where the guy in the left, I think it was the first series, or the second series, when the Giants had the ball. The guy absolutely mugged him in that left corner of the end zone. It was pass interference. That was an obvious touchdown. But anyways, it was bad for both teams. But anyways.
Yeah, listen, right. It's the preseason. Again, nobody will remember the score next week. So you move on and build on it, right?
I just hope Gabbert can learn to step up in the pocket and take that hit because, like I said, that's the difference. You know, that's the difference. Like I said, that's a 40-yard completion, and that's really the difference between Peyton Manning and
you know, Blaine Gabbert right now, in my opinion, in a lot of ways.
There's probably a little more than that right now between Peyton and Blaine, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, because Blaine is doing – I think he's a really good quarterback. He can throw. He can make all the throws. I think he makes good decisions. He's able to – he's a smart guy. I mean, because I think the playbook for the offense is complex with all the different formations and personnel groupings. But the toughness, man, we went into the end of last season with that type of question. And today there was an opportunity to kind of, you know, seize that, but I didn't see that happen.
All right, we'll take time out, come back, wrap things up. This is the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.
Products and a RICO certified service department to make sure your business is always in top shape. If that's not enough, CopyFacts.com is a full service e-commerce website that helps you save your valuable time for your clients. Call CopyFacts and find out how they've done it in Northeast Florida for more than 20 years. CopyFacts is the exclusive provider of copiers, laser printers, and fax machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Stop by Gate and behold the cold with the new 32-ounce foam cup. Ice a variety of thirst quenching fountain drinks in the new foam cup for only 99 cents. Behold the cold. What's more, any flavor 32 ounce icy is also only 99 cents. Choose from a selection of flavors including Coke, cherry, blue raspberry, and more. Cool down this summer and make Gate your destination for 99 cent fountain drinks and icies.
We all have a path in life. Some walk a fairway of perfectly groomed Bermuda grass. Others prefer 400 meters of running track or a locker room tunnel leading to 60,000 screaming fans. Wherever your path takes you, we'll keep you on it. We're Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, exclusive sports medicine provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Our top-ranked physicians and rehab professionals are the team behind the team. Find out more at joionline.net, affiliated with Baptist Health.
Good morning. Welcome to McDonald's.
Premium roast coffee, please.
Good afternoon. Welcome to McDonald's.
Large ice cold Coke, please.
Good evening. Welcome to McDonald's. Let me guess. Sweet tea?
Any time of day, any day of the week, McDonald's has your drink. Any size soft drink, Mickey D's sweet tea, and premium roast coffee are all just a dollar at McDonald's. The simple joy of sipping more.
Ah, saving never tasted so good.
A la carte only. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Free Wi-Fi now available.
This is Jeremy Ratliff from Jacksonville's Morning News. Tuesday is primary day. Monday morning, we will tell you some of what you should know before the polls open on Jacksonville's Morning News from 5 to 9.
Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. After the Jaguars beat the Giants to open the preseason, Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. Let's get one more call in before we call it a morning. And we'll go to Richard in Oklahoma, who's up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good.
I love you guys. I love your work. If the team's not all in, I want to tell you guys that I'm all in, too. I live in Oklahoma. My sister lives in Jacksonville. She has season tickets. I was there. I saw Tony Maselli's last game. I think he played for the Jaguars. I believe it was the day after Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
I had a Maselli T-shirt on. He got injured on early in the game.
I remember it, yep. I know Tony remembers it, too.
And I've been a dedicated Jaguar fan ever since. My sister, who lives there, thinks I'm crazy because I listen to the coaches' shows on Monday on my computer. I listen to the Jaguars reporters on Tuesday. I listen to Jaguars this week. Yeah, of course, I watched the botched Chargers Packers game on ESPN last night. Had Jaguars on tonight on the computer. Listen to the radio show. I love it.
Well, we love having you out there, Richard. And I think you may have just recorded our promo for our coverage during the course of the week. That was perfect. That was well done. Richard, thanks for checking in from Oklahoma. And hopefully we can get you caught up in some of the excitement that's going on here with this team right now.
Oh, I'm there. I know. You have to sneak in and sneak around those computer things, but I can get the video.
My man Rich.
The problem is the radio thing, you mute the video, and the radio is about 2 minutes ahead of what you're seeing on the line, so it's kind of hard to keep up with sometimes, but I can do it.
Richard, we'd love to hear from you out there, and don't be a stranger, and we hope to talk to you down the line as the season progresses.
I do. I want to talk to Tony. I want to get my autograph, my jersey autograph.
All right. Well, hey, listen, you know where to get them on Wednesday night on Jaguars this week.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Richard. We appreciate it. That's a nice way to wrap things up here on
yes,
the Southern
sir.
Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Next week, Jaguars, another Friday game in New Orleans against the Saints, 8 o'clock for kickoff. That means we'll start at 5 p.m. right here with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Closing thought here. What's your takeaway from this game?
Hey, just keep it going. Improve. Want to look to see the team get even better next week.
My takeaway is that any thought that this team isn't all in for the guys who are here in this building and in camp, there's no question about it. These guys are all in. It's not just a marketing slogan. It's an approach that the players and the coaches are taking, and that can lead to some good things. So, again, it's very early.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what I see so far. For Joe Fortunato, for Linda Fortunato, who's really in charge, for Ed Rocco, who's probably the next in charge, and for Marco Coleman, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, and thanks for tuning in for the preseason opener. The Jaguars beat the defending world champion Giants 32-31. Next week they head to New Orleans. Go from Eli Manning to Drew Brees in terms of the quarterbacks they'll be seeing. So the defense getting a good workout. And we'll see how the quarterback looks for the Jaguars next week. A good start for Blaine Gabbert, but plenty to build on as well. And that's exactly what the preseason is all about. Jaguars begin the preseason with a 32-31 victory over the Giants. Monday night, it is the Mike Mularkey Show. Tuesday night, Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. And Wednesday night, Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. We'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on with the Jaguars. Until then, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night from Jaguar Central. 1-2-3-4-5. I'm Cole Pepper with a Jaguars report, brought to you by Ticket Exchange and American Express. The Jaguars start the preseason with a victory. What's it all mean? I'm back with a story in just a moment. Something interesting is happening with the Jaguars. Yes, it is very early. Very early. But this is a team that, with their star player holding out and their first-round pick having not put on pads yet, is quickly coming together. After the Jaguars finished off the Giants 32-31 in the preseason opener, the team led by Rasheen Mathis presented the game ball to Mike Mularkey. Let me say this. Giving the game ball to the coach doesn't happen very often, and it sure as heck doesn't happen, and hasn't. And it sure as heck hasn't happened here in a long time. I continue to marvel at how much better the environment is around this team. I think it's because the veterans understand how things have improved, and probably just as much that the players and coaches who returned this year appreciate the change. When you've been eating garbage, even some ramen noodles can taste